Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
I'm Howie.
And I'm Josh. Hey, Howie! Happy New Year!
How did I get here?
From the morning show.
Yes.
Howie, baby.
Yes, yes. I'm just glad to be here on New Year's today. It's awesome, man.
Whoa.
I ate chitlins last night for my New Year's Eve traditions.
I thought it was black-eyed peas. It's
black-eyed peas and chitlins. You ever had chitlins?
What is chitlins?
Oh, my friend.
Take us on a journey.
You know what a chitlin is?
No.
They're not little kids. They are actually pig intestines.
Whoa. I'm sorry. I didn't know what chitlins
were. So do you eat those like noodles or what?
No. Well, you clean them, of course, first. And then, or you can buy them pre-cleaned. And then you cook them kind of like a soup or stew. Yep. We eat the pig from the rooter to the tuta.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Boiled pig guts.
Yeah, it's really good.
Do you put what's the flavor? I mean, help us out.
A lot of hot sauce.
I was getting ready to say that.
A lot of hot sauce. Tabasco. Yeah.
Is preferable. It stringy?
It's very chewy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Kind of like calamari.
Yeah. Kind of like calamari.
That sounds repulsive.
What do you call deep fried chitlins?
Wow. I don't know, but I've never tried it.
I might try that. Not the boiled, though.
Yeah. What if you took the pig intestines?
Yes.
You battered it up real nice with some good beer batter, dropped it in the deep fryer.
You weren't ready for all this, were you?
That sounds crazy.
But I say we institute a new Year's Eve tradition for the show.
Ooh.
And we do deep fried chitlins for next New Year's Eve.
Deep fried chitlins.
All right.
Yeah, I might try it.
Just a bite?
Yes.
I'll provide.
I'll eat the whole thing.
Hot sauce, sure.
Would you try it here or there? Would you try it anywhere?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Since we're talking about building momentum for the new year, I mean, we might as well start doing that planning now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're projecting a tradition for next year, but if we look back 1 year, we did make some resolutions.
I don't know
if I did. I can't remember if I did or not, but I know that you did, Haley.
I did. I kept mine. My resolution was to go a year without dieting, and I made it to December.
And then you started dieting?
And then I started dieting.
Yeah.
Because the problem with not dieting is that if you don't just eat healthy, then there's a consequence. And I kept my resolution. I experienced the consequence. And now I am making a new resolution to eat healthy.
Wow.
Let's see how long that lasts.
Probably a couple weeks. Or it could just be that I'm going to buy bigger pants.
Or the next little get together we have where you have to bake up some nice big old cinnamon rolls.
Mm. Yeah.
This girl can bake, let me tell you.
When you have a talent like that, you should indulge every now and again.
Absolutely. I like baking. It's fun.
Absolutely.
Not that kind.
Here, have some tea.
Yeah, have some tea.
Well, it's New Year's Day, and we have a wonderful show for you. Howie on the program with us. We're going to be projecting a little bit about forward momentum from here out in 2017. Really excited about this new year, and we really expect great things from heaven right here on earth. How do we project the next generation into a momentum of a movement of the Holy Spirit that changes the face of the earth?
Yeah, love that.
That's good.
So when we come back, we'll be talking about that on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. Stick around. Recently, Next Gen Worship encountered Like Hearts near the Boston, Massachusetts area, recording artists that pour their heart out and reveal the heart of God in a new EP entitled Dreams Become One. We would like to take this time to highlight their story and share their music. You can purchase their EP at desertwondermusic.com.
Sometimes when you're in a season of transition, it's easy to find yourself second-guessing the steps you've taken, or feeling like you've entered into a desert.
During a time of worship in a season just like that, we heard the Lord pulling us close and reminding us that He has a plan and a purpose in each step, and although we can't see it in full yet, He is revealing it to us little by little.
He kept whispering, "Just stay with me a while and let our dreams become one."
We were wrecked with this constant invitation from the Lord and were quickly filled with confidence on who He is over what we were feeling.
It's the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to get an attitude.
Yeah, boy.
I can do that.
I got a black woman attitude.
You got a little Madea.
Oh, now, let me tell you something.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, Daryl Billings will be our guest on that show. We'll be talking a little bit about kingdom attitude.
Yeah, I love it.
Today, it's New Year's Day, and we have a special guest on the program, Howie.
Yeah, welcome, Howie.
Hey, man, it's good to be here to set course for the new year. I'm excited.
Yeah, so we've been talking about some things that are really alive in us, and those things are concerning the next generation, and that's a huge theme with the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We're really looking for ways to give a voice and build momentum for the next generation. And if you think about it, we are riding, to a degree, some of the momentum that was built before us.
Yeah,
you know, we're building on top of something that was put in place by our fathers in the faith, by the ones that came before us. And I feel even more now than ever before that our assignment is to give language and build a platform for the next generation to launch off of.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting because we've been talking about the millennial generation and how that all plays in. I think it's a big setup.
Absolutely. It is a big setup. And you know, God's looking for, I believe, somebody to be there to catch what blossoms a little bit, catch what falls from the tree, because there's a season, there's a harvest. I believe it's going to be a beautiful one, you know, as we, you know, take back planet Earth, you know, and so the fathers have to be set to be able to handle the kids, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We're looking at making the next generation's floor our ceiling, like pushing that ceiling as high as we can in our lifetime. And we're really looking kind of down the road, not just as what can I accomplish in my lifetime, but leaving a legacy that goes beyond where we are or where we can go. Mm-hmm. So, the stepping stones between here and there, what is that? That's open for discussion.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's just kind of dream a little bit about this stepping stone, 2017. Right. What can happen this year? And what have we kind of seen coming into this year and moving forward?
I think, you know, one of them to start is to stop calling bad what God's called good. And especially with the next generation coming up. I get it. You know, there are a lot of jokes and you always see the memes of what millennials are. And we make fun of them a little bit, you know. But, you know, we're Generation Xers. We're not a whole lot better. You know what I mean?
They didn't even know what to define us as.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, I don't know, X sounds good, you know. So I think it starts with, let's start changing the language with how we view them. And how we call them out to be, because they're just going to be what we call them. Mm-hmm. You know, if we can, everybody wants a trophy and they're couch surfers. Well, guess what? That's what they're going to be. But down deep inside of them is this beautiful treasure that wants a cause. They want to grab onto something, and they're going to grab onto something. And it's not even, does it have to look tantalizing? Does it have to look flashy? I don't even want anything that's flashy. Just give me something that's tangible. Mm-hmm. Just like I believe in the hippie generation of the 60s, I believe that was a pure revival generation. A pure revival generation. Why else would it be love, peace, and joy? They just found a substitute. So instead of a fathering generation going, here's love, here's joy, here's peace, that's the kingdom, you know? Timothy Leary steps in with a drug and gives them the counterfeit way to get there.
Yeah.
So they're going to latch because it was tangible. Well, we have something that's even more tangible. And so I believe that this millennial generation, it can be the exact same setup. And one of two things is going to happen. A counterfeit's going to step in, or the real thing's going to step in. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for a kingdom.
Plus, we have responsibility and a kingdom mandate to steward the next generation that comes after us. And I think that when you mentioned like we're Generation X, there was a lack of stewardship for the Generation Xers. And so how much more then should we be passionate about stewarding and growing and pushing the next generation after us into their destiny?
That's good.
And Holy Spirit's been doing this over the course of history. Upheaval in society, cultural dissension, and like you saw it happen in the 60s, and somebody's going to take culture in one direction or the other. We're seeing it again right now. We're seeing this upheaval in culture and society, and we're seeing this fresh ground and the soil being overturned. It's time to plant seed. We can plant kingdom seeds, or we can let somebody else come in and plant some other kind of seed. Right. But it's our opportunity to really bring heaven to earth.
Yeah.
Ray Hughes makes a statement that the fathers are responsible for giving language to what's in the sons' hearts.
That's good.
And you mentioned that the boomer generation didn't do a great job of stewarding our generation, you know, in terms of giving us our destiny. There was a breakdown there. So a lot of us, most of us in this room probably, are coming into our destiny at a little later time. And we felt a little fatherless, a little like, you know, who was there to fight for my dreams and to tell me who I'm supposed to be?
Mm.
And so now we're going to see in this next generation, I believe, and I think it's already started, a completely new style of leadership and brand of leaders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are leaders who are empowering people. They're not necessarily building organizations or building churches, although that will continue to happen. You know, you mentioned revival generation. There is a whole new breed of leaders whose assignment to tell people who they are and to call out the goal in their life and to prophesy their destiny. You know, the next generation coming, they don't have the foresight all the time to see what it is God's doing, but we have a much longer time span, you know, a lot more experience in the earth to say, listen, here's what God's doing, and we empower you. We instill courage in your heart to do it.
Right. Our language has to change first before their lives change to match. And so if our language is a derogatory one, and I'm guilty of it, I make millennial jokes all the time, you know, but after kind of studying what the millennial generation's about, I'm going, whoa, hold on a second. They're not hopeless. You know, I've got to stop calling bad what God has deemed good. And so that really starts. And then it's the challenge is to bring up fathers that didn't have fathers. Mm-hmm. And so that's a real disconnect.
Yeah.
And it's scary walking into the unknown because where there is no father, there's no vision. We see when Joshua died, the generation that Joshua died is when Israel started to go do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why? Because a father carries not only a new vision for what's to come, but also carries the struggles of the past and can marry those two with experience, knowledge, and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to start viewing our language first with ourselves, going, I really am a father. So our language changes toward them and toward ourselves. That language has to change. And then the challenge is to step up and start making that applied. So because there's got to be a father. There's got to be a father, or else they cast off restraint.
Right.
You know?
And not that the boomer generation failed at anything either. They were brought up from this generation that came out of, you know, World War and everything else, where they were, you got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, make your own way. And so they carried that attitude with them to us.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of reaped both worlds a little bit in our generation. And I think it all comes back to not necessarily following a mandate from men, but following a mandate from heaven.
Yeah.
Following what our Heavenly Father is instructing us to do. And really, the fathers of the millennials of this next generation need to lead sons to the Father.
That's it.
And that's the job of the Father, is lead them to the voice of God and allow them to learn of Him instead of trying to teach them some kind of formula or
you know,
great idea, but just letting them drink from the source.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we were the victims to a bad eschatological view.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you know, 88 reasons why Jesus come back in 88. Yeah. Oh, that didn't work. No. Let's go 89, you know? So we're really the byproduct of that. This is why doctrine and seeking the Father's heart and truly those types of things, are vitally important, and not planting a flag somewhere just because somebody else said it.
Yeah.
You know, my proximity to the King gives me, he whispers truths. You know, he will always whisper truths. And so we've got to get some of that stuff, not just planting a flag where everybody else is planting a flag, but being willing to be that Lewis and Clark people to pioneer so that the millennials can come and homestead, you know?
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Leading out of our hearts authentically is the best way to really do something that is real and straight out of heaven's heart. So let's talk about this a little bit more and dream a little bit more for the next year, 2017. It's the New Year's show. We'll be right back.
What would it look like if a whole city responded in unison to the Lord? What would it look like for a city to love God together? Our worship shifts atmospheres and makes it easier for prisoners to be set free. It's time to unite. Unite Worship Gathering is a regional worship event devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. There's no agenda, no preaching. Our focus is fully on His presence. Regional worship leaders worshiping in the round, and everyone is encouraged to join in as we host the presence of God in a greater way for our region. This month's Unite Worship Gathering will be held January 13th at 7 p.m. through January 14th at 7 p.m. hosted at Joplin Church Alive, 917 Illinois Avenue in Joplin. Unite Worship Gatherings are hosted by a different church every month. Check the schedule for upcoming dates and to sign up for a 1 or 2 hour time slot at uniteworshipgatherings.com.
Is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Happy New Year!
Sorry. It's New Year's Day. We are talking about projecting into the new year 2017 and where God's taking us and the next generation. We're really excited to have on the program with us today, Howie.
Hey. It's good to be here, and I just believe that God's just going to say some things here and plant some seeds that people can take, and we can just water them throughout the rest of the year here on the broadcast, you know?
Well, we're talking about building momentum for the next generation and feel like that's a really divine assignment for those of us that are fathers in the kingdom, and we're casting vision today about how do we set up a platform for the next generation to not only, I mean, it's polite, it's a nice thing to do, to fight for other people's dreams, but how are we going to do this to ensure their success? I mean, we want to build, if we're truly building kingdom, it's going to last beyond our lifetime, beyond our generation.
Right.
And we want to see something that's influential beyond our generation. Let's kind of open this topic up again and talk a little bit about that. And I know you have some great thoughts, Adam.
It's beautiful, you know, the next generation. Anytime you want to know where you're going, it's not knowing where you are, but knowing who is coming behind you. Just like Lewis and Clark, they pioneered. Well, if no one would have come behind them and settled, it would just grown back up and weeds and thickets, and the path is gone. So if we're going to pioneer something, we better know who's going to come and homestead, you know, and who's going to settle the lands that we're pioneering. And so those are the millennials, and, you know, born between anywhere between 1979, 1999. There's a few years in there, you know, 1980, 2000. And so we've got this generation that was born in crisis. Their psyche was formed by crisis. Within the millennial generation, as they were coming of age, they grew up in a 24-hour news cycle. We didn't. A 24-hour news cycle that was under crisis, financial crisis and war. So their mindset, it's a little different than even ours, because we didn't grow up exactly under that pressure. And so it's identifying these things and going, okay, who am I talking to? So what do they want? Security. At a job, a millennial will work at a place that they feel safe and is cause-driven for less money than if they would work at a different place. So this helps what our kingdom perspective in speaking identity into them is. Because what is the kingdom? The kingdom's the safest place ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You want to feel secure? You want to feel close? Millennials actually want to live closer to family. So you have more millennials forming multifamily homes than any other generation, not just because of economics. Part of the reason, because they grew up in that economic crisis. So that's their paradigm, that we're always in crisis. But they're also, they want family. They want that connection. You think about 9/11, you think about some of these things they grew up in. They want that connection. They're very justice driven, very cause driven. Tom Shoes, prime example.
Huh. Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, you look at 87% of nonprofits, Rafa House, were formed by millennials. They're starting them. You know, mm-hmm. they're starting the small businesses that are cause driven. Those are kingdom concepts. So who's going to catch it? Who's going to catch them and start speaking that identity into them? Who's going to start calling out some of that anxiety of growing up in crisis? You know, is it going to be the psychiatrist or is it going to be the father in the kingdom going, you want peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost? That's the kingdom.
Yeah.
I got it for you.
Yeah.
So these are some misconceptions about the millennials. We can actually start calling good what God calls good and valuing and seeing that value in them from a kingdom perspective. I think it'll rock the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's my two cents.
I think you're absolutely right. And we've been talking about this for about a year, that there's generations live on the earth right now that are inactive. They're not doing anything because the ideas and the things that have been planted in them don't fit on Sunday morning. If we're talking about rocking the earth or shifting culture, and we were talking about people that are going to take kingdom into the marketplace or into society or become leaders in their city. They weren't built to stand behind a pulpit on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And we want to get permission. We want to say yes to the voice, because a lot of these guys are like, you know, I don't identify with the message that I've been hearing. I got my own message. Mm. You know, that's authenticity at work when we give these guys permission to be who they are and to come out with a brand new voice, a brand new heart, and give them permission to go after the dreams and the things that God's planted in their heart. It's so powerful to see a generation possibly come into that kind of an authority in such a new cultural landscape. I think we have the potential to see maybe the biggest stronghold of heaven on earth created in one generation that we've ever seen.
True living epistles.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Paul was the father of fathers. I mean, if you think about it, he was giving a language for Timothy and the church of Philippi and the church of Thessalonica. He was giving, you know, language to them. What was his responsibility? Well, read through the book of Romans, and he's giving them linguistic framework with which to live out their faith. Mm-hmm. What would happen if they didn't have those concepts as justification, propitiation, sanctification? Where would we be without these concepts?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a new crop coming up, and this is exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
You talk about shifting culture. I think it will naturally happen when we operate in our identity. When the next generation is given identity by Father God as sons and daughters of a kingdom, and then culture will automatically shift. We were talking on the break how our generation, you can see the influence of kind of this left behind mentality, this temporal existence that we kind of exude in our architecture, in our culture, things that we've produced in our generation.
Yeah.
That is because of what we believed.
Ah, that's good.
We produced out of our hearts. This is where belief is formed. If we can give language to the next generation as to who they are, what their identity is, and they believe it, oh my goodness, culture will automatically change. It will it will be completely shifted naturally.
Yeah. Out of the heart flow the issues of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're going to see an explosion, really, of creativity on every level. We're going to see, you know, people in every realm of society. You know, we talk about some of the old language, maybe the seven mountains of society, but, you know, in culture, in the place where people live and do and form their beliefs, everyday life, we're going to see explosions come on the scene of people with new ideas, with answers to problems maybe that we've deemed unsolvable. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys are real problem solvers, and I love partnering with that because I want undeniable proof that God is in our midst. And not everybody is going to come to our church on Sunday morning. We have got to see redemption swallow the earth.
Right.
We have to start thinking like that again. We have to start thinking at a city level. What does God say about my city?
Right.
You know, we've got the family down a lot. It's way better than it used to be. We've got even church down. Church is way healthier than it used to be. But what does God say about my city? What does God say about my region? What if God could give my region a new name? Like, what things prophetically even is God having in store for my city? And let's partner with that.
Yeah.
And that requires, I think, which is this new generation's strong point, that requires not being afraid of each other, mm-hmm. not being in competition, not being afraid to partner with someone else and let them be strong. You know, we don't have to be in control of everything.
Right.
And I love that collaboration and that single-mindedness and that like-heartedness that's really coming alive.
Yeah, man, that's so good.
And you're seeing more and more of that with this new generation. They have a collaborative spirit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of automatically. They want to empower people and yep.
well,
join hands.
And that's the new millennial mindset. Our parents had conference rooms. We had conference calls. They have conference video. So it went from a building to a region to the world.
Yeah.
So they think globally.
They're world
so
citizens.
To collaborate with someone is not just down the block or in my city, which we would think like our parents would think like, but they're thinking, oh, it's just in Italy. You know what I mean? That's nothing. So their collaborative motivation is on a grand scale. Mm-hmm. You know,
I just was thinking it's so amazing and exciting to think about the fact that what we're talking about is the idea of building something that will last forever.
Mm.
You know, like you mentioned, we didn't build for the future. Even our architecture displays that we weren't planning on staying here forever.
Right.
And what we're talking about is building something that will last generations and generations and generations.
Yeah. It's so exciting. We're creating momentum for the next generation. That's powerful because the things that we believe about God and we believe how he believes about us is going to affect the generations to come. So we got to get some good believing going on, and we've got to get some good action. We've got to start collaborating and being creative and releasing people into their destiny. Yeah, super exciting.
Yeah.
So glad to have you on the program with us today, Howie. Man. Thank you so much for stopping by. And
I wish we had an hour.
Yeah.
Giving your 2 cents. It's worth $1 million.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Next week, we're going to be sitting down with Daryl Billings talking about Get an Attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tune in for that. It will be our second show of 2017 on the Next Gen Worship broadcast as we explore the Father's heart and find out what he wants for our generation and the generations to come.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.